Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Carl came in hot today, and he is fired up. And a lot of folks are fired up, too. Nobody wants to see the Braves get humiliated by the Dodgers, because obviously going all the way back to the days of the NL West, they are truly the Braves' most hated rival. Although I would say now the Phillies have kind of probably eclipsed them. Optics are terrible. Don't look good. But it's a long season. And yes, a bunch of guys are hitting us up on the text line and on our Twitter, we don't call it X, and they're saying, like, wow, it's kind of like the world was bizarro when I become the voice of reason on the program. Because as we said in 2021, I was the guy that literally said, fire sale it! Because it looked like the Braves were dead in the water. And you know, that's when we lost Acuna. It just seemed like, man, there's nowhere to go with this squad. Thing is, it's a long season, but there are still some fundamental flaws. We think we just kind of, let's be honest, we unearthed them in that conversation last hour with Turtle talking about the pitching. More on that coming up. We'll talk more about the Braves. We'll take your calls about it too as well. Right now, though, it's time to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley's going to join us in just a second from Dog Nation to talk about what he thinks is going to be happening around this college football landscape. I know that this is kind of the period where you just hope that nobody gets arrested, nobody does anything stupid, and everybody's going to be healthy when it's time to show up in the end of July and August for the Dogs to make that run for the championship. I was down in South Florida, by the way, and I was at the Formula One Grand Prix that in Miami at the Hard Rock, running to people from all over the country and all over the world, for that matter. We had people from Brazil and Argentina. We had Germans sitting next to the whole shebang, but ran into a bunch of guys from Texas, and they're really excited about the Georgia Bulldogs rolling into Austin, and they're going to be there for that Austin race. Now, if you can find a way to get that ticket, Carl and I already talked about it. Ticket prices are insane. You'll probably have to stay in San Antonio or some little town somewhere in North Texas, Carl. But ran into a bunch of dudes from Dallas that are going to be in Austin. They're Longhorn alum like you are.
Hook 'em.
And they're just there. I got peppered for questions about the Dogs. What's up with the Dogs? The Dogs' defense. You know, it was Carson Beck. I think it's going to be a typical SEC game, which kind of looks like a typical Big 12 game, which means a lot of points in this game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, one of the best games of the year.
Two best quarterbacks, I think, in college football, in Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck.
And not knowing what Georgia's – we think we know what Georgia's defense is going to be at times. Yeah. And there's certainly some good elements and veterans and some key positions, but still question marks too.
So from that standpoint, I think the quarterback play will dictate the scoring and certainly how these two teams match up. I totally agree with you. It's Dukes and Bell, man. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And by the way, big shout-out to all the dogs I met this weekend. I was up in Athens and had a great time up there. The golf course is amazing. So I don't know if Connor Riley has ever been up there to play that golf course. I don't know if Connor plays.
Have you ever played we've been lucky enough to play some good courses. It's immaculate. It's so beautiful.
It really is. They do a great job with it. So big shout out to all the folks up there. Matter of fact, speaking of Connor Riley, let's talk some dogs.
I already did that.
My bad.
By the way, Carl is overseeing our engineering. The air conditioning. Oh. If we sound flustered today, or if I do, the air conditioning went out in here. It's hot as nuggets out here.
I apologize because Turtle said Connor was there. Connor, have you ever played that golf course?
I play it from time to time. I get a sweet little deal. I can walk the front nine for, I think, like $18 on weekdays because I'm an alum. It is a great course.
Yeah, it really is. I was blown away. Tell me you don't play from the dog tees, though, right? You're not.
No, I ain't that good. Okay. I ain't that good.
All right. I was blown away. I'm like, who's playing from back here? Of course, the golf team is really good. Hey, man, as we get past all, I think, the draft chatter now, everybody's talking about fit. And I'm curious to know from you what dog went to the best place. Because even though we knew Brock was going to be a high draft pick, you know, there are lots of questions about, all right, the Raiders and what that offense is going to be. Is there a dog that went to a really good fit in your mind?
I think there are two to me that jump out, one in terms of immediacy and then another in terms of long term, like this is where he's going to grow. The first one, Ladd McConkey couldn't have landed in a better spot. The Chargers are turning over their wide receiver room. Keenan Allen is now a Chicago Bear. Mike Williams is a New York Jet. It wouldn't shock me if Ladd McConkey comes in and leads the Chargers in receiving in year one. And for him to do that as the ninth wide receiver drafted, I think it's a perfect home for him. I think because of playing for Kirby Smart, I think he's going to be able to play pretty well for Jim Harbaugh in terms of what he expects from that. And so if you're looking at a guy who's going to come in and make a lot of plays in year one, again, I don't want to do the Puka Nacua thing because that could prove to be a little bit of an outlier there. But I think year one, Ladd McConkey is absolutely someone that could put up really good numbers for a Chargers team that is going to be well coached, going to have a really good offensive line, going to have a really good quarterback. So I love the fit there. And then long term, I think Amarius Mims landing with the Cincinnati Bengals is a good spot for him. He doesn't have to play right away because they have two sort of veteran established tackles, but one of them, Trent Brown, being older, year two, you think he can slide in and be a starting tackle there. And to get to play with Joe Burrow, to probably get to play with Ja'Marr Chase for the majority of his career, I think he's the kind of person who, going to a smaller media market, I think is going to help him, and there's going to be a little bit less pressure on him to play right away. He's going to be on a team that competes. And I think him landing in Cincinnati, while he may not have a huge impact in year one, may grow into having a larger and being one of the better-known tackles in the NFL over the years to come.
It's our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. There was a run on corners in the second round where I thought the Falcons were going to do something, but we moved up and we got a Clemson player, which is cool. But I just felt, I know you already covered this, I was off last week, Kamari Lassiter going to a good Texans team with a good defensive coach, that's kind of cool. Tell me about Zion Logue, who we took in the seventh.
Yeah, Zion Logue, defensive tackle out of Georgia. It sounds boring. It sounds simple. This guy's just a professional. He was like that at Georgia. No, wasn't a flashy player. Didn't post a lot of sacks or tackles for loss. But was always in the right spot at the right time. He was the guy who sort of had to fill the shoes of Jordan Davis when Davis was drafted in the first round, and Zion Logue was sort of that run stuffer in the middle. And it wasn't a glamorous job, but he did it about as well as you could ask. And this is a guy that is going to come in. He's going to, you know, not to use an overused cliche, but have his lunch pail with him every single day and find a way to help this Atlanta team. Again, not a flashy player, but a guy who understands his role. And I think because of what he had to do at Georgia and sort of fill that void, I think he knows what he's going to be stepping into with the Falcons. And while, yes, he was a sixth round draft pick, wouldn't surprise me if he finds a way to help this team this year and find a way onto that roster.
Connor Riley with Dog Nation. We're talking college football. All right, as we come out of spring football, it is not Alabama. Alabama! It is not LSU. It is Georgia as the top team going into what we consider to be this period of, hey, we're before SEC media days. We haven't heard all the coaches talk about all the things. But heading into, you know, the season, it's the dogs in Texas. Would you agree with that right now? And remember, there's no East and West, so they're going to play early in the season, and there's a chance, Connor, right, they could play for the SEC championship game. And by the way, the third best team, at least according to the polls that are out there, is Ole Miss in the SEC. Do you agree with that?
I like Ole Miss and Missouri maybe a little bit more than I like Texas for a couple of reasons. One, Ole Miss and Missouri have, in my opinion, the easiest schedules in the SEC. And so because of that, I think that they're going to be able to better navigate this upcoming season. Both teams were in the top 12 a season ago. Mm. And so combine what they bring back with what they have in their schedule, it wouldn't surprise me if you see one of Ole Miss or Missouri in the SEC championship game there. I have some questions with Texas. And, you know, yes, they go to the playoff last year, very nearly beat Washington. They potentially could have if things go a different way at the end of the game there. They're bringing in a lot of transfers on the defensive side of the ball, specifically in this last window. And if they're this active trying to get guys to come in and trying to help this team. That is a little concerning to me in terms of what they're going to be able to do this coming season. Obviously, they have a very talented offense. Quinn Ewers, for everything he might not be, he is at baseline a very, very good quarterback. Tashard Choice, former Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket and coach there, one of the best running back coaches in the country. C.J. Baxter is going to be a guy to know there. They bring in Isaiah Bond from Alabama. Offense isn't the issue there. But in coming into the SEC and having to go and play against those SEC-quality opponents on a week-in, week-out basis, I'm interested in seeing how this Texas defense holds up over the season. And for the questions that do exist about Georgia's own defense there, I think in that game, Georgia-Texas on October 19th, Georgia's offense might be the gap between them and Texas's defense might be so wide that it might make it tough, in my opinion, for Texas to find a way to win that game.
I'll keep it in the Lone Star State. Mike Elko takes over as the head coach at A&M. He had, I think, the third best transfer portal for what it's worth, and I think they are a top 20 recruiting class. Obviously, the whole Jimbo Fisher thing sort of became a punchline to a joke. Are these guys going to be able to compete?
Year one, I don't know. Now, he has previous experience there. He understands Texas A&M well. I think this is a guy who, you know, you mentioned Jimbo Fisher. I think he's a total opposite of Jimbo Fisher. And I think his time at Duke, I loved what I saw out of that Duke team this year. Obviously, injuries got in the way of them a little bit over the course of the season. But he's going to have all the bells and whistles at Texas A&M. And while it might not be a year one thing, it might be a year two, year three sort of more gradual build. But I do like what Mike Elko brings to the table. And, you know, 2-3 years from now, this might be, looking back on this hire, is maybe the best one in this most recent coaching cycle hire, right, where you saw a new head coach at national runner-up Washington. Michigan hires Sharon Moore, and Alabama goes out and gets Kalen DeBoer. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Mike Elko at Texas A&M be sort of the best hire of this cycle.
Look, I'm not trying to run him out. Not yet. But he's 11-14 in 2 years, and Florida doesn't look like they're going to be any better this year. I mean, Connor Riley, I mean, if Auburn is better, if South Carolina is better with Shane Beamer, like, there's a real chance you could look at this Florida team and go, Shane Beamer or Billy Napier is gone.
And their schedule is brutal. I think to end the season, their last five games are against Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State.
Ouch. He's done.
And like they got games early in the season against a good Kentucky team, Miami and Central Florida in the non-conference. They got Texas A&M in there. That's a brutal schedule. And look, I know Billy Napier has preached like, hey, I want a slow build. I want to build this the right way.
Uh-oh.
Going into year three, you're 11-14, as you point out, Carl. And you've seen other programs turn things around really quickly. TCU went to the national championship game in their first season under Sonny Dykes there. So that schedule's difficult. Their recruiting class at the end really came apart, and it went from a potential top five class to a class in the teens there. I have real worries about Billy Napier making it through this season. And quite frankly, with the way their schedule sets up, if they don't start fast, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Billy Napier isn't the coach of Florida when Georgia and Florida play in Jacksonville because of the way their schedule is. And because, again, at 3 years, if you're still treading water at this point, you can't build slow. You need someone dynamic. And for Billy Napier, I just do not think he was the right hire at the right point in time in college football for that Florida job.
And as you mentioned, Miami and UCF, Carl, and Sanford, that's probably the one game that you know they could win. What would the over-under, if we're going to set the over-under for wins for the Gators right now, 4.5?
I think 4.5 is maybe the number. You might be able to find 5.5 at some books, but with that schedule, they maybe have the hardest schedule in the SEC this season, and they have a lot of questions about the talent on that roster and whatnot. It's going to be really interesting to see how Billy Napier goes out and navigates all of this.
Meanwhile, Kirby just got a new 10-year deal.
Right.
It's just like, hey, when Nick was running things and coaches were getting fired, it's the same thing. Kirby's just rolling, and Florida's got to find its guy. I agree with you, and I said, I'm not ready to run him out yet, but he's got to show me something this season. We got to run. Connor Riley, great job as always. Good stuff, man. Where can they find your stuff?
Yeah, if you guys can follow me on Twitter, at @KConnorRiley. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
You got it. All right, guys. Brian Geltzeil is going to join us. He's the founder of HoopsCritic.com. He's also on Sirius NBA Radio, the latest on the playoffs coming up. And also, Trey tweeted about a guy, and everybody's like, oh, he must want to go play with them. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, guys are allowed to comment on the playoffs. But the Trey Young and the whole what are the Hawks thing going to do is counting down, Mike, because once we get to past the NBA Finals, all of this stuff is going to play out.
I mean, that's it. It's the draft, and then all of a sudden, who's going to be traded?
Yeah, yeah. So he's going to join us. Brian Geltzeiler, Guy Talk on the way as well, as we had a great conversation earlier, but Mike's going to let us hear some of the roast last night with Tom Brady here in about 30 minutes. All right, we're coming back. We're talking NBA hoops, and we'll get back into the Braves and the Falcons coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's talk some NBA with our man Brian Geltzeiler, founder of HoopsCritic.com, Sirius NBA Radio. We were talking earlier about Ant-Man. How impressed are you with him, Brian, and can they truly beat the Nuggets in this series? Was that an aberration, or do you feel like the T-Wolves have their number?
Well, maybe somewhere in between. Like, I picked the Nuggets in seven at the beginning of the series. So, obviously, I felt like the Timberwolves were going to be very competitive, and they were more than very competitive in game one. And what I think has happened here is they presented a problem for the Nuggets that may be a long-term problem in this series. And it does revolve around Anthony Edwards. Listen, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has been a vital piece on two title teams in the last 5 years, the 2020 Lakers in the bubble and last year's Nuggets team that won the title. Caldwell-Pope was charged with having to guard Anthony Edwards in game one of this series. And there's no bigger fan on the planet of KCP than me. It was an abject failure. And now you take a look. It was. I mean, he killed him. He crushed him. He couldn't handle him. He couldn't stay with him. And Edwards was able to elevate above him in the mid-range, get to the basket when he wanted to get to the basket, threes off the bounce. Anthony Edwards' entire repertoire was on display, and it looked easy. And that's the problem with KCP. So now you got to pivot. And where do you pivot to guard him? Well, the best guy to guard him is probably Aaron Gordon. Unfortunately for the Nuggets, that's also the best guy to guard Karl Anthony Towns. So maybe it's Michael Porter, but either way, it's got to be one of the two big forwards now to guard Edwards. And that takes away a cover. You know, and I don't know that Porter can handle him, by the way. I think it's going to have to be Gordon. That right. takes away a cover on one of the big guys. That's not a good thing for Denver in this series. It's one of those things when you got to pull one of those bigs to the perimeter to devote him to Edwards, especially if it's Porter, it's going to take away from what he does on the offensive end, and they need that very badly. And if it's Gordon, you're going to take away your best Towns defender. That's a problem, too. This is all going to present what's potentially a long-term problem for Denver. So it wasn't fluky. Minnesota is a very, very good team, but I've also understood this. We shouldn't sleep on Nikola Jokic and Michael Malone to kind of be able to scheme their way through this a little.
But, Brian, I know that Jamal Murray doesn't look like he's 100%. We were amazed how top-heavy they seemed last year winning the title, but is this truly Minnesota's just got a better team? They've got a better bench, just deeper.
They're a deeper team. Denver does not have a wonderful bench. The other thing that I credit Minnesota with in game one is, and this is the only strategy to play the Nuggets and Jokic, you must single cover Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic, in the end, when you single cover him, his instincts are to play foul line in. He will go inside. He'll put it on the floor. He'll spin. And if you single cover him, he'll score against anybody you put on him, by the way, including Rudy Gobert. The thing is, when you start to decide you need to double Jokic and he becomes the whole focus of your entire defense, then he's going to find open shooters, and they're going to knock down threes. And that's when they bury you. The thing about Denver, you'll stay in the game with them if they're killing you with twos. If you're going to allow them to kill you with threes, the math buries you. And where Minnesota was smart here is that, you know what, we got really good individual defenders. We're going to stay at home on everybody else, and we're going to single cover Jokic. If Jokic goes for more than 30, fine. If he goes for 40, fine. But the idea is not to let multiple of the other guys get 20. In this game, one guy had 20. It was Porter. Murray didn't even get there. I agree with what you're saying. Murray is not 100%. He's completely banged up. It's not going to be the same version of Murray. In this case, especially the way Minnesota defended Denver in game one, I think that's going to be a major advantage for the Wolves, more so than it would be normally having Murray banged up.
Brian, are we going to see 90s basketball with Pacers Knicks in this series?
We are. It's interesting because, you know, everybody's talking about a track meet with the Pacers and they want to play fast. They really didn't do that in the first round against Milwaukee. And in a tempo war, you can count on Tom Thibodeau's team to win that tempo war. That doesn't necessarily translate into the Knicks winning the series. The Knicks have a Miles Turner problem in this series. He showed you, all season he's been a perimeter big. He showed you in the first round he could do it inside and outside. And it wasn't just pick and pop. There was a lot of pick and roll. It's going to be a major challenge for Isaiah Hartenstein. And then you look at the logical guy to come in there and be able to do something against Turner. It's Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson's playing on one ankle. The only reason he was effective against Embiid in the Sixers series was because Embiid spends a lot of time in the paint going inside. So defending Turner on the perimeter becomes harder. I think we'll see a lot of pressure to Chua. And the thing about you have to understand about the Pacers in this series, they are deeper than the Knicks. And then Tom Thibodeau loves playing his four best players 44 minutes or more. And I don't disagree with it. You got to win the games. The Bogdanovich injury is a major one for the Knicks. Don't let anybody tell you different. The Knicks will keep you under 105. They struggle to get to 105. For the 15 to 18 minutes of game Bogdanovich was playing and the 10 to 12 points he was giving you, they were very, very relevant. I wouldn't be surprised, and I cringe as I say it because I'm not a fan of the player, but I actually think we may see some Alec Burks in this series just because the Knicks have to do whatever they have to do to keep the Hart, Steven, Shenzos, and Ananobis of the world somewhat fresh to be able to be what I think is going to be a very long series.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets was troll of the Celtics. Pat Riley says, Jimmy, shut up, you're not playing, which I thought was pretty funny. The thing with the Celtics, now they get the Cavs. I think we asked you this a few times as Brian Geltz, the guys, joins us here from Sirius NBA Radio. Is Missoula going to screw things up for the Celtics? Because they look like they should win it this year.
They should. I mean, I will say this. I'm a huge fan of The Ringer and their podcast network. And Bill Simmons at The Ringer says something, the founder of The Ringer, says something about the Celtics and Porzingis that I think is the best way to put it and is so true. He refers to Porzingis as the Celtics' superpower. Huh. He adds a dimension that they don't have anybody else in the roster that adds, and it complements Tatum and Brown and Holiday and White in a big way. I can't stress it enough. They're a little bit more ordinary without Kristaps Porzingis. Now, listen, Cleveland may not have Jared Allen in this series. A rib injury is tough to come back from so quickly. So that neutralizes it a little bit. I don't think they'll have a problem with Cleveland. I really don't. The fact is they're going to be able to guard both Mitchell and Garland. You're going to put pressure on some of these other guys to hit shots. Yes, Strus and Merrill hit some shots yesterday, and it helped them out. LeVert had a good game. Are we really counting on that through 5-6 games of a series? I don't think that we can. Orlando's a very good defensive team, as is Boston. So I think that Boston will be okay in this series. But I will say this. If you're going to go into a conference final against a team like the Knicks, for example, and decide that you're shooting 53s, you're not going to win the series without Porzingis. And that's the problem. Missoula has four terrific individual shot makers that can do it from multiple spots on the floor. His obsession with shooting 45 to 53 pointers a game is besides the Porzingis injury, is the Celtics' major Achilles heel. Why do that if you don't have to? Yeah. And they don't have to. And that's the puzzling part of Missoula's whole strategy with them.
It's a great point. Brian Geltzeiler, I got to ask you this before I ask you about the Mavs and Thunder. And that is Trae Young. We've had this conversation with you. Once we get past the NBA Finals, a lot of this stuff is going to play out. Whether LeBron's going back to L.A., who's going to be the new coach, all that stuff is going to be situated. Where are you at with Trae Young? Because everybody thinks that the Hawks are going to get more for Trae than they would anybody else. I'm not convinced they get three first-round picks. I'm not convinced they get two. Where are you at on this?
I think they can get two. I think they can get a good young player in two. First of all, let's understand this, guys, and I think I've said this on your show before, but it bears repeating. The only reason DeJounte Murray finished the season on the Hawks was because they couldn't get two first-round picks.
Correct.
They were struggling to get one, all right? So that's why he's there. Keep in mind, I know there's a lot of Hawks fans that get fired up when I say things that aren't complimentary about Trae Young.
No.
I'm aware, right? But I'll say this. The reason that Murray is going to stay is because they can't get as much for Murray as they can for Young. And I do think, listen, you're going to get a lot of stars moved in this offseason. I don't think LeBron James is going to move teams, but there's big names in play. You know, I think Kevin Durant may be in play. I think Paul George may be in play. It's going to be some big names in play. Donovan Mitchell could be in play. And I think what ends up happening is somebody does pony up for Young, who thought maybe they were getting one of those other stars, and gets Young at a little bit of a discounted price from one of those other guys, and I think the Hawks get value for him. Listen, I think the relationship of Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks organization has outlived its usefulness a little bit. I think both sides have outgrown each other. I think for the Hawks, they've done a really good job of drafting. They have a very nice young stable of players here, from Jalen Johnson to Okongwu. I like Bufkin. I AJ Griffin. I didn't play much this year. But the Hawks can go young and be pretty good. You can move Young out, get something. Capella will have value in a trade in this offseason, as do I think Bogdanovich. And I don't think you have to you got knocked out of the play-in tournament, okay? You're
right.
Stuck in the middle right now.
Right.
I don't think you have to do a full rebuild, but I think with the young guys you have, you can do a retool. And you can trade those three guys, get whatever you can, and start to build assets from there and probably be pretty good again within 2 years with a younger group. And not that Young's an old player. He's not, but Bogdanovich is a little bit, and Capella is a little bit, and Young can bring you back some value. It's not all doom and gloom for the Hawks, but I do think getting off Trae Young, I think it's time for that for both sides.
One last thing, Mavs, Thunder. A lot of people did not think Kyrie and Luka would work. Yeah. They are.
Yes, they are. I didn't think they'd work. Listen, guys, when I'm wrong, I always say I'm wrong. All right? I thought it was going to be a disaster, and it's been the exact opposite. And I tip my cap. Listen, it's easy to give credit to one guy. Both guys deserve credit. First of all, Luka Doncic, who I thought was the kind of star not meant to play with other stars after he and Porzingis flamed out so spectacularly together. But Luka realized very quickly, this dude's good. Like, if I give this dude space to operate, he actually makes my job easier. So Luka hasn't made major changes to his game, but he's made some changes to his game. He's willing to spot up a little more and let Kyrie cook on the other side. He's willing to hit the offensive glass a little bit. All of a sudden, Luka's taking on some different matchups and banging a little bit defensively. He's changed his game. And Kyrie Irving walked in there, and he knew that with everything he pulled in Brooklyn, that his career was on the ropes a little bit. And what he's shown you is not only how good he can be offensively, not only what a good team player he could be, but his defense has been really good this year, guys, and no one talks about it. He busts his backside on that end of the floor, works so hard, and in the end, for him, he could care less about his numbers. He wants to win games. He's really he went from a coach's nightmare to a coach's dream in the snap of a finger, and it's absolutely bizarre. Listen, part of it's Jason Kidd. When Kyrie grew up in the same town where I grew up, all right, when Jason Kidd was with the Nets, he was Kyrie Irving's favorite player.
Yeah.
Now he's his head coach. and there's a relationship there and a respect there that Kyrie has for him that maybe he wouldn't have had for others, including Steve Nash. And it's working out great. Listen, I'm picking Dallas in the series. I like OKC a lot, but I think Dallas's size is going to be too much for him. OKC has got a major rebounding problem. And this is the kind of series, especially with the way the guards rebound. Luke and Kyrie, they help out on the glass. I think that's going to be a little bit of a mini nightmare for OKC to be able to handle the Mavericks in this series. I got Dallas in six in this one.
All right, man. That's our guy, Brian Geltzeiler. You hear that, man? They got help for Luka. Trey's never had help, and now he says trade Trey. All right, brother. We'll talk to you down the road. Enjoy the playoffs.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
That's our guy. Coming up next in Guy Talk, it was unbelievable last night. I can't believe Tom Brady signed up on this roast. What was the joke that Tom Brady said? Knock that off. Coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the play is play. Hey, man, back to work on a Monday. Thanks again for all the love last week when I lost my father-in-law. It was a crazy week. Carl and I were just talking about it. It just kind of kicks your butt, you know, emotionally. And then it was like we had this trip on the books and to kind of get my wife something to take her mind off everything. So next thing you know, you go from one extreme to the next. And then it's it's Miami and it's Fort Lauderdale and it's the Formula One race. By the way, we're brought to you by Hooters. I told these guys I'd give a shout-out to Alan and Patrick, and I forget the other guys, I had it in my phone. Three Irish guys who we ran into in Fort Lauderdale on Las Olas, and I was asking where, because they're from County Kilkenny, where my people are from in Ireland.
Okay.
And I said, what do you think? And it had been their first time in South Florida. And the one guy, and he's about like 55, he goes, oh, the Hooters? The Hooters on the beach? It's unbelievable.
Talking about the women.
He goes, you're sitting there, I'm watching soccer. We call it football. I'm drinking ice cold beer. I'm looking at the beach. I've got these women all around me. This Hooters thing's amazing. So anyway, but that's one guy's little cross section of his Miami weekend. Hey, man, great time down there. Lando Norris gets the win as he finally gets his first victory for McLaren. Trump was there. There's a lot of controversy about that because McLaren's like, well, he was the president. We can say hi to him. And then, of course, all hell broke loose on that one. Sure. They'd issue a statement. But it was a typical Miami weekend. Over the weekend, million things. Photo finish Kentucky Derby. an 18-1 shot named Mystic Dan gets
great
it done.
Race. Great race.
Ballsy move by the jockey. I mean, he takes the inside. I mean, literally on the rail, nearly gets squeezed, is able to make it work, and literally wins by a nose, you guys saw that. In Kansas, they had a photo finish there as well in NASCAR, which is kind of unbelievable. Atlanta was a great finish. NASCAR had a great finish in Talladega. Kyle Larson wins a photo finish, too, by the way. And then, of course, Tom Brady had his roast last night. It was on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix, but it was live. That was not on tape. That was live last night from the arena in Los Angeles. Got a couple of sound bites for you. Start off with the Toastmaster, Roastmaster General Jeff Ross with his first joke about Tom Brady.
And on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office, and said, "I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage?" I love Robert Kraft.
Now that's Tom Brady saying, "Don't say that ish again." So that's one of the few moments where things got testy. What do you make of that?
He didn't like that?
It's a funny joke. Bob Kraft
it's
did
it. It's a great
We've all
joke.
Moved on from
it's
Bob
a, it's
Kraft.
A great Kevin Hart gave him grief afterwards, too. He gave Jeff Ross grief. Like, you let Tom come here and say that to you.
Yeah.
Let Tom come here and say that to you.
Yeah. Listen, it's a roast, player. Some things are going to be said. Right. It's uncomfortable, but I thought it was funny, Mike.
It was a hell of a funny line. My favorite Kevin Hart joke right here. Here's the talking about Tom Brady's decision to come back for one more year.
Giselle gave you an ultimatum. Giselle said, "You retire or we're done." That's what she said to you, Tom. "You retire or we're done." Let me tell you something. When you got a chance to go 8-9 and all it will cost you is your wife and your kids, you got to do what the f*** you got to do. Do you understand me?
Oh, man. That's my favorite joke of the night. I know there's other ones. Who was the other? Hitchlip, the comedian, was killing it last night.
Nikki Glaser.
Awesome. Nikki Glaser. Here's awesome. Nikki Glaser about Tom's involvement with crypto.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, "Me know that not real money." Like...
So if you didn't hear it with the background noise, that "me know that not real money" makes you making fun of Gronk.
That's great. No, man, that's funny stuff. I mean, and again, 3 hours of that, Mike?
Right. So listen to this. Here's Bill. Now, Bill Belichick's got some jokes. Let's play first about Tom's investment in Birmingham City over in England in the soccer world. Hey, listen.
I see your soccer team, Birmingham City, got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League. So, you know, for those not familiar with English football and the intricacies to their obscure regulation system, just let me say, I'll put it in English for you. They suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
Hey, there's one more. Here is Belichick. But everyone had jokes about Alex Guerrero, the fitness trainer who had the nutrition, the TB12 with Tom Brady. Here's more from Bill Belichick. Take a listen.
People have said that Tom and I have butted heads a lot, and in a way that was true, but not really. It was hard to butt heads with Tom because he was so far up Alex Guerrero's ass.
And so Tom Brady, booze was flowing. By the way, Robert Kraft and Belichick, seemingly, if there was a hatchet to bury, they did, drinking shots together on stage. It was an old school. Now, for people of a certain age, like Carl and I, and a couple of older than Carl, the Dean Martin roast, where they would always be off the chain. This, I mean, I got to be honest, it was about as funny as you saw with the Comedy Central. A lot of people were saying that, but geez, levity and brevity, 3 hours for this thing, Carl.
That's a long time, but funny. They did a good job. It was well produced, right? I mean, Oren was watching. You guys saw it. Listen, for Tom, this is the next thing. And Mike, for me, the next thing is hearing him in the booth. I want to see what he sounds like. I want to see how this goes for him. And again, everybody assumes he's going to be great at it, and maybe he will. But we got to wait to see. But I thought this was all funny.
Pretty good. Now, a lot of folks are saying, no, unfortunately, Aaron Hernandez's widow would reach out on social media because there are a lot of Aaron Hernandez. Like, it happened. The guy was associated.
You're not supposed to touch that? Yeah, it's comedy.
Exactly. Now, again, it's tough when your kids got to hear that, but your father was a sociopath. I mean, so them's the breaks. And there was a lot of fodder on that one. Give me one more. Is that the Belichick cut talking about Gronk? There's one more from Bill since he was feeling no pain in Toastmaster General last night.
Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
Oh,
Oh, my goodness.
They had a fun opening where there's Drew Bledsoe, and it's Belichick and Bledsoe backstage. And basically to play on what happened back in 2001, where Bledsoe, he's like, I'm ready, coach. I've been waiting for this my whole life. He goes, it's not your night, son. Tom, get out there.
It was funny to Drew, but at the same time, like, you could tell Drew had been waiting a long time to get some of those jokes.
Yeah, right. just to say it.
Just a while to get some of those jokes.
Right. So, again, it's on Netflix if you have Netflix. But, I mean, other than maybe they edit it down, find a way to encapsulate it to 2 hours, because for a lot of folks, as we said, people can't sit through a three-hour movie, let alone 3 hours of although it was pretty entertaining.
We're complaining about three-hour baseball games. You're going to sit through a three-hour roast? I mean, that's the thing, even though it was very entertaining. Hey, I will give them that.
Speaking of sitting through something.
Yeah.
U.S. Open coverage. You and I love watching golf on TV, the majors,
for
the
sure.
big ones, the big ones. Well, they've decided they were toying with it, and they're going to do it. NBC Sports says your lead analyst is going to be none other than Brandel Chamblee.
No!
Yes.
No!
The former Canadian Open winner and a guy that I think, you know, you can kind of read where he's coming from on a number of things.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, his distaste for Tiger, his total white bread with mayonnaise, rich country club BS, which most of us can't stand.
What are you saying?
He's the reason why guys didn't. He's the reason why guys like you and I didn't watch golf or play golf because of the stupid old fart country club crap that this guy continuously espouses.
No!
So it's not Johnny Miller, although I love Johnny Miller. It's Brandel Chamblee. You're going to get to hear it, man. He'll be on there with Dan Hicks. Also, Mike Tirico is involved with Brad Faxon on the NBC four-man booth.
I love Tirico. Everything else is on mute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Brandel Chamblee is like, oh, I can't watch and you'll find out why we hate him. Hey, man, there's your guy talk. Brought to you by Dukesville. Hey, man, I appreciate the pictures. Guys, you're getting some of our watermelon lime. It's out in stores. Taylor, the brewmaster's got it out there from McConey. Post those photos at Dukes and Bell, man. We'll always give you a shout.
Coming up, Barney says Dukes. There's never been a pennant won in May. My response, there's been pennants lost in May. We'll talk about the Braves and what we saw over the weekend, but when we come back, can the Falcons staff get the most out of the room? Find out what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.